I guess the first lesson you learned when you started school was, raise your hand if you want to talk. And the second was, don't get out of your seat unless the teacher says you can. But the first academic lesson you learned was your ABCs. Because you got to know your ABCs before you can learn to read. Now, once you learn your ABCs and learn to read, then you can learn literature, history, geography, algebra. Algebra? You remember those word problems that used to go like this? It's 75 miles from Barbie's Grove to the furniture market in High Point. If Leonard leaves the furniture market going down the interstate at 70 miles an hour and Pastor Ed leaves Barbie's Grove Church going down St. Martin Road at 55 miles an hour, are they going to meet in Salisbury, Rockwell, or Gold Hill? Now, I can see some of you, your minds are already twirling trying to figure that out. And the rest of you doing the same thing you did in school. I don't care where Leonard met.
I'm just thinking I don't want you to hit me.
You know. But it all starts with your ABCs. If you don't learn your ABCs, you're out of luck. You're not going very far academically. Well, the Christian life has some ABCs, some things that we need to learn, and the Christian life is not that complicated if we just learn the basics and then continue to apply the basics. Now, you remember last week we looked at one of the basics, how we use our tongue. As James says in his book, the tongue is the rudder on our life. And if we're going to get our boat heading in the right direction, we got to get our tongue, like a rudder, pointed correctly. If not, we're going to be going up the river or down the river, or we're going to be hitting a bank, we're going to be hitting a rock, we'll never make our destination if we don't get our tongue operating correctly. That's one of the basics. Another of the basics that we want to look at today is this. How important it is that we maintain a consistent, diligent walk with God. A consistent, diligent walk with God. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and at first you may think, how do they all tie together? But I think in the end, they will. Turn with me first to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that almost seems like we can work our way into heaven. That's not what it's saying. In Ephesians, Paul says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it'd be a shame if I came before the gates of heaven and said, now, Lord, I preached over 50 years, and in that length of time, I preached 4,998 sermons. And the Lord said, I'm sorry, son, 5,000 is the minimum to get into heaven. You missed it by two. I said, well, Lord, maybe I can get in on my tithing. I always tried to give 10%. He said, well, you did pretty good on that, but there were 2 years you missed your Christmas bonus tithe, and so you only gave 9.98%. You missed it again. I said, well, what about my visiting? Lord, I made 9,995 hospital and nursing home visits. He said, 10,000 is the minimum. He said, off to hell with you, son. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I'm glad it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross and our dependence on it. You know, when I get to heaven, it's not going to be how many sermons I preached or how many visits I made or how much money I gave, but it's going to be on the basis of the fact that I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And that's the truth for every one of us. So when Paul's talking about working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, he's not talking about how many good deeds we can do in order to get ourselves into heaven. He's talking about how we're going to live our life in such a way that we are a blessing to others, we're a blessing to the kingdom of God, and we ourselves are blessed. You know, there's a whole lot more to the Christian life than most Christians ever receive and achieve. Let me put it in a way you'll understand. I've seen some of you with your cell phones. You can make it do everything but predict an accurate date for the second coming of Jesus. Now me, I can see the time and I can make a call and I can get your text and that's it. Now it's not just the phone, it's the operator of the phone. Some of you get a whole lot more out of your cell phone than I do. And some folks get a whole lot more out of their Christian walk with God than others because they work at it. They learn how to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. They learn how the kingdom of God works. They learn how to follow the principles of God. And when he's talking about working it out, he's saying, you've got to be active in doing this. Long in July, if you drove down through the sand hills and or up by Kevin's, and you saw somebody out there laying on the ground under a peach tree with his mouth open, waiting for a ripe peach to fall in, you'd say, that's an idiot. If you want a ripe peach, pick it. If you want to know and experience all of the kingdom of God, learn it and do it. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, on further over into the New Testament toward the end. And we'll go to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse 22 of chapter 10. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He said, draw near. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. You remember back in school, you guys tried to get up close to the pretty girls? And some of you girls, you tried to get up close to that guy that was the real macho quarterback or whatever. He says, draw near to God. One of the ways that we work our own salvation is to draw near to God, to make it a desire, a goal to get nearer and nearer and nearer to the presence of the Lord. To not be satisfied sitting back in the far back corner, I said, Lord, I want to be near you. You think about the disciples. Now, there was a lot of folks that followed Jesus around. Sometimes we think of just the 12, but you know he had the 70 that he sent out. And then you had the 12. And then you had Peter, James, and John. But who was the one that leaned upon Jesus at the Lord's Supper? John. There was different levels of drawing near to the Lord. And John calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, not that Jesus didn't love the others, but John wasn't satisfied just to be one of the big group. He wasn't satisfied to be just one of the 12. He wasn't satisfied just to be one of the 3. John wanted to be as near to Jesus as he could possibly be. Don't be satisfied till you learn to more and more and more draw near to Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. Holding fast. We draw near, we hold fast. We don't give up. When Satan comes with his lies and said, it's all a lie, the Bible's not true, you're not saved. You know, I ran into a lady this week that I've known for 30-some years, and I felt sorry for her. She said, I've been baptized 3 times in the last few years. She can't seem to grasp her salvation. The writer of Hebrews says, hold fast to your salvation. Verse 24, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Maintain a loving relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maintain a loving relationship with your brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful, marvelous thing to me that I can go in a lot of different places and start talking to brothers and sisters that I've known in the Lord 50 years. And I may not have seen them in 40, but instantly there's a bond. Maintain that relationship between you and your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Stay faithful in your church. Stay faithful in your church. It's so easy to get unfaithful. It's so easy to get backslidden. But stay faithful. You see, all of these things are a part of that maintaining that walk with God. Now turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to stay in the book. You got to stay in the book. And you may be the kind of person that reads one verse. One verse and meditates on it all day long. That's okay. You might be the kind of person that reads a chapter every day, or you might read 5 chapters every day. You know, if you're going to read the Bible through in a year, you're going to read a number of chapters every day. But study and maintain a relationship with the Word of God. Meditate on it. You know, Paul says something about Timothy earlier. He says, from a child, you've known the Scriptures. You've made it a part of your life. Memorize it. I don't know whether any of the kids from Barbie's Grove ever participated in what we used to call the junior memory work tournaments. And you learn the verses, and then you'd have the memory work tournaments at the church, and then if you passed, you know, made a good grade, then you had the association and then the state. You know, I still remember a lot of those verses I learned when I was 9 years old. It's amazing. Let the Word of God become a vital part of your life. Now turn with me back a couple of pages to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now see, Don, just a little bit ago, prayed for our national leaders. Exactly what Paul tells us to do. He said, prayers and supplication. You're never going far, and you're never going to develop much as a Christian unless you develop a prayer life. You may be the kind of person that prays 2 or 3 minute prayers multiple times during the day. You may be the kind of person that prays for 20 or 30 minutes at a time. The importance is that you learn to pray. That you learn to pray. Now you see, all of these things are a part of developing and maintaining a consistent walk with God. Now, let me give you an illustration that I think will help you to understand this. Now, all summer long, coming to, and you know, spring, summer, fall, coming to church every Sunday, this old farm boy's heart was blessed seeing all the wonderful crops. You know, wheat, corn, soybeans, cotton. I mean, it's just beautiful to ride from here to my house and see all the crops. And presumably next year it'll be the same. But what if they decide not to plant next year? And the next year? And the next year? And the next year? After about 10 years, all those beautiful fields will be covered over with grass, weeds, and briars. Now then suppose some guy says, you know, I think I'd like to grow something this year. Without doing anything else, all those reeds, grass, and briars, he flies over with a plane and dumps a number one certified seed right on the top of that. What's he going to get? Not much. Not much. You know, all over America, there are thousands of Christians that are just like that. At one time, they were productive, beautiful, fruitful men and women of God. But they did not maintain a consistent walk with God. And over a period of time, the weeds and the briars and the grasses have grown over their life spiritually. And then when they do show up for, you know, a grandson's baptizing or maybe a Easter or a Christmas or, you know, something's homecoming, even though a great message is preached, it doesn't do anything because it's like dumping those seed on that grassy lot. You remember Jesus in one of his parables talked about that? He said the sower went forth to sow, and some of it fell on rocky soil, some of it fell on the hard-packed soil, some of it fell in the weeds and thorns, and they choked it out. There are people whose lives have gotten to the place that they're so grown over because they've not maintained that walk with God, that even when you dump a number one certified seed on them, nothing much really happens. Folks, we've got to actively, diligently pursue our walk with God. It won't be long. As soon as it gets warm, if you drive by our house, my wife's going to be out there on her hands and knees with all kind of little diggers. She's getting after those weeds and grasses in her flower beds, because her flower beds are important to her. Now, last year with her mom having the stroke, she got behind and we never did catch up. I help her some, but it's basically her baby. And you know what's amusing to me sometimes? She doesn't do any work on Sunday. But ever so often, we'll get out of the truck on Sunday morning after church and she's in her Sunday finery. And I'll go to the door and unlock and I'll realize she's not behind me. And I thought, and she's over there in her flower bed and some little nasty weed has had the audacity to come up during church. And she's not waiting until she changes clothes. She's not waiting until Monday. She's going to get that weed right then. Now, folks, if we're that serious about our walk with God, so that any time a nasty little spiritual weed pops up in our lives, we're not going to wait. We're going to get it right then. It's going to make all the difference in the world. It's going to make all the difference in the world. You think, well now, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. It's not going to happen to us. Paul says something in 1 Timothy chapter 10 that we ought to at least think about. 1 Timothy chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 10, verse 12. Not Timothy, Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. What I said last week in the sermon, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's according to what Proverbs says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's no one exempt from the devil's attacks. And all over America, I know of preachers, deacons, folks in the pew that at one time were godly men and women, serving the Lord with all of the fervency of their heart, who now are living for the devil. Pride took over. It'll never happen to me. Or this little sin won't matter. I saw a lady speaking one Sunday. She's wearing high heels and she scared me, because she was walking along the edge like this and talking about how some people like to get so close. How much sin can I get away with and still not fall? I was afraid she one of those little narrow heels was going to fall. You know, if she got just a little closer to the edge, she's going to fall and break her neck. Folks, it's not a matter of how close I can walk to the edge and how much sin I can tolerate in my life and not make a mess. We ought to grab every nasty little weed as soon as we see it. And when we do that and maintain that walk with God, we're developing another part of the ABCs of our Christian walk. As we have the invitation, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to rededicate your life or make some other decision, we invite you to come.